Hi, this is Dan. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I trust that it'll encourage you and build your faith. If you'd like to connect with me further, visit my website at revivalnow.com. You can find me on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at RevivalNowDanSteep and Twitter at RevivalNowDan. You can also download the Revival Now app. Enjoy the podcast and share it with a friend. Hi, I'm Dan Steep, and thank you for joining me for this episode of the Dan Steep Podcast. We're going to be talking about giving that gets God's attention. Giving that gets God's attention. Now, there are seven main types of giving in the Bible, starting with tithing and the offering. So let me just list them off, but we're only going to focus in on one, which is the offering. So there's tithing in the Bible. In Malachi chapter 3, the offering, different types of offerings, but in 2 Corinthians 9. And then we have first fruit giving, spoken of in Proverbs 3. There's alms giving, or giving to the poor, spoken of in Proverbs 28, Matthew 6. Sacrificial giving in Matthew 26. Honoring a man of God in 2 Kings 4, and partnering with a traveling ministry in Luke chapter 8. But we're going to be zeroing in on the offering for this episode. And this is where I like to say that giving becomes fun. I even started to title the episode "When Giving Becomes Fun," but I realize that that's kind of, it's different for everyone. But when we talk about giving, this is a non-tithing giving. You see, the tithe is set by God. It's 10%. And it's clearly stated in Malachi chapter 3. But the offering is completely different. The offering is something that you get to set. You set the amount. And that's where, for people like myself, giving starts to become fun, because you grow in your relationship with God, and you get to this place where you desire to give. And you also understand biblically what giving unlocks for you in your own life. And for me, I began to, throughout my Christian journey, just look for different ways that I could give more. How could I give more this year, this month? It almost became like a game. Not that giving is a game, but it was fun. But we want to talk about giving that gets God's attention. The offering is a powerful way. And within the offering, there's really two types of offering giving that I want to talk about in this episode: free will giving and Holy Spirit led giving. And I know there will always be Christians with a Pharisaical spirit that will say, "Well, all your giving should be Spirit led." But yeah, I get it, but not really. I don't need the Spirit to speak to me about tithing. It's laid out very clearly in Scripture. A tenth belongs to the Lord. It's His. And so for me to withhold the tithe would be robbing from God. So I don't need to hear a word of direction or wisdom from the Holy Spirit to tithe. But when we talk about the offering, there's two aspects that I want to talk about: the free will giving and Spirit-led giving. Free will giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, "You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully." let's focus on this first part. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Why? Because it's a free will offering. But within our offering, there must always be faith. We believe in faith giving. There's obedience. And there's honor. Honor. If your gift means something to you, then it means something to God. So you always want to make sure that you're giving from faith and obedience and honor. If your gift is insignificant in your eyes, why are you giving it to God? Let me take you to a scripture in Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. I want to kind of prove this point to you. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. So if you're not sure where to find it, you just go to the book of Matthew in the New Testament and turn left. And the first book that you'll come to is the book of Malachi. God's not actually required to receive every offering that's given. And this scripture in Malachi illustrates that. Malachi chapter 1, beginning of verse 6, a son honors his father as a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? God is not required to receive every offering given. What was happening in Malachi here in chapter 1, they were giving leftover offerings. God was telling them, you're offering me your leftovers, worthless offerings. What made the offerings worthless? There was no honor in the offering. It must have faith and it must have honor. There's a story in 2 Samuel chapter 24 about King David. And he was preparing to give an offering, and they were going to make an offering available for him to give to the Lord, but he wouldn't do it. He insisted on paying for it. He said, I will not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing. David wasn't looking for a way to get out of the offering or skirt around it. When David gave his offerings to the Lord, he did so in honor. My offering must be wrapped in honor and in faith. And I'm not even talking about amounts. Now, I'm not talking about the amount of your gift. You see, God judges our gift by what's left over, not the amount of the gift. When you give a $100 offering, when God's speaking to you about a $5,000 offering, that's what he looks at. There's the story of the widow who gave her last two coins. And that's not a story. Jesus isn't talking about giving small offerings. She gave a large offering because there was nothing left after she gave her offering. This woman literally gave everything that she had. She was giving that was clearly an offering that was wrapped in honor because she gave God her best, and it was wrapped in faith because it takes a lot of faith to give everything that you have. And God judges our gift not by how much we give, but by how much is left over. You know, I like to golf. But here's the thing about golf. I've had the opportunity to buy new equipment and buy new golf clubs and all those things. I've had my family's even offered to do that for me. And I've always just kind of drugged my feet on doing it because I've come to realize that while I enjoy golf and I enjoy playing, my heart's just really not in it. In other words, like, I could never play golf again, and I don't think I would ever miss it. Even though I've gotten a lot of enjoyment out of playing golf over the years. But my heart's just not there, and I don't really want to spend my money or anyone else's money on a bunch of new golf equipment when I'm not really sure if I'll even golf this year or how much that I will. And for the amount that I golf, my clubs and my equipment is really adequate. In my mind, I'm not trying to set records with my golf scores, but the biggest thing is that my heart's just not there. I just don't care that much about it. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, man, I want to invest. I want to seek first the kingdom. I want to sow financial seed in the kingdom. And I'm looking for ways and opportunities to bless God and to bless others through my giving. And so in the last couple of years, we've dumped a lot of money into the kingdom. Offerings of faith, offerings of honor, offerings that you know, not in any kind of proud or prideful or haughty way, but there's honor in the offering. Like I'm giving unto God something that costs me something, costs me significantly. I was thinking about this. I'm like, gosh, you know, my wife and I, we have an anniversary coming up next month, and you know, what if I gave my wife a $25 or a $50 or a $100 gift for a milestone anniversary celebration? I would never do that. I wouldn't want to hurt her feelings. I wouldn't want to insult her. I wouldn't want her to think that that's all that I think about our relationship and the life that we've built together and invested together over all these years. So I would give a meaningful, a gift that is a gift of honor, to honor her for standing by me and walking with me all of these years. So why would I give God an offering that I'd be embarrassed to give my wife? And that was what was happening in the book of Malachi in the first chapter. God was speaking to them about it because they were giving the leftover offerings. They were giving the damaged sheep. They weren't giving God their best in any way. And you'll hear people say things like, well, God understands, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what you give or how you give. God understands. No, he doesn't. That's the whole point of Malachi chapter 1 in the scripture that I read for you. He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand God's people, his people, bringing him offerings that have no honor and no reverence in it. So that's the free will offering. I read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. I want to take a moment and just read the expanded context of that passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 5 and reading through verse 11. This is that free will offering. We know it's free will because the Apostle Paul says it very clearly. Let everyone, you know, basically search his heart and give accordingly. In the New Living Translation, I'll begin in verse 5. to give a little more context, the Apostle Paul said, so I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready, but I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. So a free will offering. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You each must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. And you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. That's just a tremendous passage of scripture on free will giving, free will offering. The Apostle Paul, he uses the illustration of harvest, of seed time and harvest. You'll hear people that are anti-prosperity and anti-blessing covenant. They'll say that the Apostle Paul, he was talking about a harvest, an agricultural harvest. But actually, he's speaking to people who understood agricultural harvest, and he's using that as an example or an illustration, and he's applying it. He's very clearly, this whole passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is about receiving an offering. And it's not people, quote-unquote, prosperity preachers or whoever, that are taking it out of context. This is what the Apostle Paul, he used that illustration, he did, in the context of receiving an offering. That means, because the Bible tells us that holy men of God moved, they were moved by the Holy Spirit, when they penned the words of Scripture. So that means the Holy Spirit inspired. That's third person of the Trinity. That is God. Inspired the Apostle Paul to use this agricultural illustration in the context of receiving an offering. And he says, God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and bread to eat. So he provides seed to sow and bread to eat. He provides both for us. In the same way, he will provide and he will increase your resources. As you do what? As you offer this free will offering. He's going to provide, that's your bread. He's going to increase your resources, and he's going to produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Why? Because you're giving a gift of honor and faith, and it gets God's attention. Just like when people were giving their leftover offerings to God, it got his attention in a different way. When God sees you bringing offerings of honor and faith, it gets his attention. And the scripture says, you will be enriched in every way. Why? So that you can be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Amen. So I told you there are two kinds of offerings that we're talking about specifically in this episode. The free will offering, which we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and then there's spirit-led giving. Spirit-led giving. And this was when I was thinking about titling this episode, When Giving Becomes Fun, the reason I chose not to was because of this right here. Spirit-led giving. Spirit-led giving will definitely get God's attention, but it may not always be fun. Why? Because the Holy Spirit won't lead you to do something that doesn't require faith. And as much as we talk about faith and its virtue and value and importance, faith is often not fun. Faith stretches you. Faith causes you to do something based upon not what you can see in the physical, in the natural, but what you can't see. Faith forces you to see in the supernatural. And it challenges you. Holy Spirit-led giving is obedience that's wrapped in honor. There's a great story in 2 Kings chapter 4 about the Shunammite woman. And the Spirit-led giving that she did toward the prophet Elisha. And I'm just going to read it from 2 Kings chapter 4, just maybe verses 8 through 10. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look, now I know this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed there for him and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And that's exactly what they did. And that's what the prophet Elijah would do. Elisha, he would stop off there to be refreshed. What was happening here? This was a woman who gave to a person as directed by the Holy Spirit. See, when the Holy Spirit directs you, it very well may not look normal. That's why I said it's not always fun. Because when the Holy Spirit asks you to do something, he's going to ask you to do something that requires faith. It may stretch your paradigm. You may think, well, I thought that offerings could only be received at church. No, there's all kinds of offerings. Almsgiving is giving to the poor. This is Spirit-led giving, whereby she wanted to honor a man of God. And it got God's attention in a massive way. It got God's attention. Here's what God did for her. Specifically in response to her obedience, her faith in Spirit-led giving to a man of God. First thing God did for her, gave her a son because she wasn't able to get pregnant. Second miracle God did for her, raised that son from the dead. Third miracle that God did for her was restoring all of her property after the famine. Three significant, notable miracles. Gave her a son, raised that son from the dead, and restored all of her property to her after the famine. That's giving. It's Holy Spirit-led giving, and it gets God's attention. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So the Apostle Paul, again, uses the agricultural illustration of sowing and reaping as it relates to giving. That's what he said. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over into your lap. While I'm quoting it, I got inspired that I just want to make sure that I don't leave anything out. Given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put in your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Hallelujah. So as the Spirit directs you, well, how do I know when the Spirit's directing me? Because it'll be something that's uncomfortable. It'll be something that you might not want to do. It'll be personally expensive. It'll stretch your faith. Listen, no farmer plants without expecting a harvest. That would be ludicrous. No farmer would make the investment to plant a crop without expecting a harvest. Now, I've heard people, you know, these anti-prosperity people, it's always the same group, you know, and they try to explain things away so that Scripture fits their personal comfort level or their religious tradition or whatever it might be for them. And they'll say, well, just because you sow financially doesn't mean that you're going to reap financially. God may bless you in relationships and in other ways. And certainly He can and He will, but that's not what the Apostle Paul's talking about. What farmer would plant wheat and expect a barley harvest? No, give and it will be given to you. With the same measure that you use, it will be used unto you. Galatians 6, whatsoever a man sows, that will he reap. So don't get it twisted. No farmer plants without expecting a harvest, and no farmer plants one crop expecting to yield another. Now, the same principle of sowing and reaping, of seed time and harvest, can apply to other areas of your life. What you put into a relationship, you'll get out. But that's not what is being talked about in Scripture on this point. But here's the thing that's exciting that gets God's attention. One seed led by the Holy Spirit can break you through to another level. So I admonish you like the Apostle Paul, walk by faith and not by sight. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying in Galatians 6. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose sight. When you obey God, God takes care of you. Hallelujah. You will be known by your blessing. You'll be known by God, and you'll be known by men. You'll be known by your blessing. Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I'll just read verse 3. Now, I don't know who has Bibles with them, so I better read the whole thing. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You'll be known by your blessing. You'll be like the tree planted by rivers of living water, bringing forth its fruit in season. Your leaf will never wither. That's supernatural. And whatever you do will prosper. Psalm 118. As I bring this to a conclusion, Psalm 118, verse 23. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous to see. Psalm 126. Psalm 126. It's just a six-verse psalm. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, here it is. I said, you'll be known by God and by men by your blessing. Verse 2, they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. You'll be known. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to carefully observe all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Now I'm going to read verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. You'll be known by your blessing as you obey the voice of the Lord your God. That's Holy Spirit-led giving. When you do what the Holy Spirit speaks to you, directs you, leads you to do. So that's giving that gets God's attention. I trust that it has been a blessing to you as you've taken part in this episode. Last thing that I want to know, as people listen to the podcast, share it with their friends, I don't know everyone personally that listens to the podcast. Are you saved? There's no more important question that I could ever ask you. You want to get God's attention, call out to Him for salvation. It's not difficult. All you have to do is recognize you've sinned, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. When I recognize that my sin is killing me and killing those around me, that the only way to peace is through faith in Jesus Christ, now I'm in a position to repent. Jesus said, "If you'll perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God." Repent means to change your mind, change your direction, change your lifestyle. Once I've recognized my sin, and that's not difficult to do. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Then I repent of my sin, and then I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Just commit your heart to Him by faith. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm going to offer a simple prayer of salvation right now. It contains all three components of recognizing, repenting, and receiving. And if you'll repeat this prayer right now after me, from a place of sincerity in your heart, you can know from this moment forward that you're saved, you're born again, and you're on your way to heaven because you have Jesus in your heart. Let's pray this prayer right now. Just say this after me. Say, "Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave to give me victory over sin and death. I confess my sinfulness. I repent. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and make me a new person. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, welcome to the family of God. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When you prayed that prayer with me, you called on the name of the Lord. So please go to our website. This is really important. I want to be a blessing to you in your Christian life. Go to revivalnow.com. Revivalnow.com. You'll find a big red button on the front page that says, "I just got saved." Click that button, and it'll take you to a place where you can view some video resources that I've prepared for you to help you get started in your Christian life. And you can fill out your contact information. And if you'll fill out your contact information in its entirety, I'm going to do a couple things. One, I'm going to send some resources to you to help you get started in your Christian life. And number two, I'm going to pray for you by name because now I'm going to know who you are. So go to revivalnow.com, click "I just got saved," and follow the prompts from there. Thanks for joining me on this broadcast. I trust that it's been a blessing to you. Giving that gets God's attention. As you put this teaching into practice in your life, I fully expect that God is going to take you from level to level, glory to glory, favor to favor, victory to victory, in Jesus' name. Until next time, be blessed in Jesus' name.